welcome back to another episode of the China Startup Pulse. Today, we have Brandon Chase Merget. He's founder of Shanghai Mindfulness, a community of more than 4,000 practitioners about mindfulness, and he's also the Shanghai Head Division of Potential Project, an organization that delivers corporate-based mindfulness training for Fortune 500 companies. Brandon, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Brandon started to get involved into mindfulness 11 years ago when he was in college, and he started to play with some of these initial apps that were trying to help with meditation, but he was looking for more. He was looking for a more scientific-driven approach to energize the mind. And after this journey, 5-6 years ago, he moved to China. He moved to Shanghai, to Hangzhou, actually, looking for philosophy, but he had a little bit of this disappointment with what he found in Hangzhou. So he really decided to go deep into China, and he went to the mountains in Yunnan, where he exercised and he improved his practice. And after a few years there, he also launched a blog that was basically allowed him to like live in Yunnan with the revenue that he was generating with this blog. But then he moved to Shanghai. And in Shanghai, well, let's say that things are slightly more expensive. So he was needed to look for a little bit more things. And people was asking him. People was looking for mindfulness. So after he trained more than 1,000 people in mindfulness meditation skills, he realized he was into something. And that's what he started to look for a way to do things at a scale. That's when he started Shanghai Mindfulness. And when he got in contact with Potential Project, well, that we're talking here today. So Brandon, what is mindfulness meditation?
It's a great question. Thank you for the lovely intro. I would say mindfulness meditation, to keep it very simple, is to the specific practice of mindfulness meditation is to watch one's breath, primarily the breath, non-judgmentally, not changing it, manipulating it. And when you feel that you're lost in thought, become aware of that and then bring your attention back to the fact that you're breathing. Basic mindfulness meditation, or in the corporate context, we call it basic mindfulness training, is attention training. And becoming aware of what's on your mind as your attention affects everything. There are various forms of mindfulness meditation, but for simplicity's sake, we'll just say it's resting your attention on the breath.
So why do you think there's so much interest in a city like Shanghai in mindfulness training?
Right. So Shanghai is one of the largest cities in the world. And it's a very stressful place. There's pressure always on, information overload, distractions are everywhere. Shanghai is not the survival of the fittest. It is the survival of the focused. So if you can focus and if you have less stress, you have a significant competitive advantage.
So you work with a lot of Fortune 500 in your practice with Potential Project, but you also have a lot of work with entrepreneurs. So when entrepreneurs approach to you, why do they approach you?
Depends on the type of entrepreneurs. If it's I'd say as a whole, Chinese and foreign entrepreneurs, primarily they're reaching out for the benefits of focus and mental resilience. When they've reached out, though, I let them know more about the self-awareness part of mindfulness training. And this is incredibly important as an entrepreneur to know what we're good at, what we're bad at, where we want to go in the future, and also to know why in the world we're doing this. Because at the end of the day, when it's 2 a.m. and you're tired, you've lost faith, and you're running basically on empty, what keeps you going is passion, it's purpose. And that is a direct result of a deep knowing of why we're doing this and self-awareness. So I'd say that that's the main quality that entrepreneurs can reap from mindfulness meditation. In addition to that is focus, mental resilience.
So how does mindfulness training look like for an entrepreneur?
It's very simple. I mean, I could go into a long explanation, but stopping once a day and just watching your mind, easier if you stop and sit down. Even easier if you stop, sit down, and watch your breathing. Even easier if you sit down, watch your breathing, close your eyes. Even easier if you stop once a day, sit down, close your eyes, watch your breath, and count each breath upon each exhalation. But it's just slowing down. If you look at the fastest land animal in the world, the cheetah, 90% of the time, this thing is not moving all too much. But when it takes, when it's ready to take off, it goes really fast from just a very, very quiet place. So it's very important to be able to speed up by slowing down.
So what are the situations where entrepreneurs reach out to you and they come asking for help? What is exactly where the situations they are and what are the expectations that they have?
Typically, they'll come seeking mindfulness training for the mental resilience aspect of it, your ability to bounce back from stress, the focus aspect of it. A lot of small teams, they're coming because the leaders, they've already started mindfulness training and they want their teams to pick up these traits. So they're coming in and I'm working with their people. And it's typically, it's about conserving one's energy levels and understanding oneself on a deeper level, because entrepreneurship is, it's all in. You know, it's you typically never get a break, and this can be quite mentally exhausting. And when you're doing mindfulness meditation, say twice a day for 10, 20 minutes a day, first, what the science is showing is that you're getting actually more rest than from sleep. I'm not saying it. You shouldn't sleep. Guys, keep sleeping. But this is really conserving a lot of energy. It's compelling science behind it. And also the focus aspect of it. Because when you look at nature focus, it all starts with our attention. And our attention affects our choices. And our choices affect our actions. And our actions affect our results. So in fact, there's a direct correlation with high attention spans and high results. So this is very interesting to a lot of entrepreneurs and many, 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 especially in the West, practicing mindfulness to keep themselves focused on what's important and to keep themselves from burning out.
So in Silicon Valley, it's now becoming like a must. Every single successful entrepreneur always talks about how mindfulness is basically a cornerstone of what they've managed to achieve and how they try to bring that to their teams and they try to expand it. How do you see that adoption in China?
It's not a matter of, I always say it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I mean, people are going to pick up on it because the science is compelling. And China has gone through a lot of changes recently, past 100 years. Nowadays, for Chinese entrepreneurs, it's just about money. And this is a huge fallacy that if you're under the illusion that if you make money and that in 20, 30 years is going to make you happy, and you look into your little money bag at the end of the day and happiness isn't in your money bag, well, you just fall into the biggest trap there ever is. So cultivating self-awareness on a regular basis is critical, and watching oneself every single day, it's just a matter of time. More and more people are starting to look within themselves and realize what is perhaps missing. Now, the Chinese, they're a little different because they don't typically go to psychologists or therapists. And they think that if they're going somewhere, this is admitting there's some sort of problem with them, like they're crazy, right? And this is one of the reasons that we frame our services in performance enhancement, effectively sugarcoating the pill. We know you're great. In fact, you're perfect, Oscar. We're just going to make you better. And this has worked pretty well. And also, basic mindfulness training is focus training. So we do have the data that shows if you do 10 minutes a day of at least 5 out of 7 days a week for at least 10 weeks, the minimum effect of those, you can, in fact, increase your focus by 42%. And the science is compelling. The data is compelling. It's all measured. So Chinese people are very, very interested in this. However, it's important that this is taught in a secular manner and in a professional way. And this is one of the movements that we're very much so focused on and helping people with and teaching other teachers, trainers, coaches to cultivate that in the most professional way possible to deliver these services. It's already existing in the United States. Here in China, though, this is quite important.
996 is the mantra of the working rules in China. You have people working 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. Now, that's the mantra of entrepreneurship and the typical schedule of that workers have in technology companies. And on the same side, you have some of the large companies, some of the large internet companies like Alibaba and Tencent that are currently working on the adoption of mindfulness with their own mindfulness training, with their own mindfulness rooms, and even like considering that as something that they need to include in the redesign of the new headquarters. How do you see this adoption? I mean, you mentioned that you have sometimes to sugarcoat a little bit the program and camouflate it in a way. But how do you see this clash of the constant work, I'm very intensive, and the work for efficiency?
First, I don't see any direct correlation with time input and output. Two rules I would like to just mention that I teach my clients and our community. One is Parkinson's law and the Pareto principle. Are you familiar?
But you can explain to the audience.
Sure, I will. Guys, girls, beautiful people out there. Parkinson's law is very simple. Time allotted to a task, the complexity of the task expands. In other words, if I give you a month to make a book report, you're going to procrastinate the entire time up until like the last couple days. But if I give you a day to do a book report, you must focus on the key critical tasks that yield the highest results. Now going into Pareto's principle, it is effectively the 80-20 principle. So what are the key multiplier effects? What 20% will give you an 80% output? And this is very important to become aware of. And in order to become aware of that, we must cultivate mindfulness. Are you focusing on the key task that will yield the highest output? Mindfulness, I don't even like the word I don't even like the word mindfulness. To be honest with you, I prefer contemplation. I mean, all we're talking about here is stopping once a day and watching your mind. I could care less if you're just writing. You stop once a day, sit down, write what's on your mind for 5 to 10 minutes. Or you stop once a day and you have a performance coach or a mindfulness coach and you're just explaining what's on your head. Just to get it out of your head and look at it from different perspectives is incredibly important. Now, mindfulness meditation happens to have a significant amount of scientific data showing that this actually changes the physical structure of the brain. And this is one of the reasons why all of these companies are picking this up, is because of the science behind it. And it just makes sense. Stop, chill out, watch your mind. This culture of working, is it 966
you
mentioned? 996 you mentioned. I think it's fantastic that they're having meditation rooms or mindfulness rooms. I'm curious as to how much those rooms are utilized. I think that now in 2018, mindfulness meditation is on the up and up. It's going to be huge in the next 5 years. It's just going to be a new thing that you do, quite similar to the yoga industry. If you look 5 years ago in China, in Shanghai, I think there was like 200 to 500 yoga studios. Don't quote me on this, but it's 200 yoga studios in the middle of Shanghai. Okay, now in 2018, there's about 1,000 or more just in the middle of Shanghai. So you can see this movement. And all of these people, they are practicing some form of meditation at the end of their yoga practice. So it's just a matter of time. And when this becomes more popular, more people start adapting this. And mindfulness is really, it's not looked at as therapy. It's looked at as some sort of tool or skill to train. Just like you're going to the physical gym, this is going every day to the mental gym. And I'm really happy to see these companies start taking this up. They're starting to become a bit more compassionate on their people. And this is great leadership, selflessness, compassion, and mindfulness.
So you mentioned that some of these organizations have somebody that all is already practicing and then is looking for a way to scale down and bring that to the whole organization so everybody can benefit from this mental exercise. So who are these pioneers? Who are these early adopters that are trying to bring mindfulness to the organizations?
Who are the people that are actually bringing it to organizations?
Who are the ones in the organizations that they are suggesting, trying to promote the use of mindfulness in the organization?
Okay. Well, if you look at international companies such as Apple, Microsoft, a lot of tech companies, they're actively doing that. Steve Jobs is a huge proponent on meditation and introspection. Many, many, many different companies that are doing this. off the top of my head, I would say some of our clients that we work very closely with is Accenture, McKinsey, Goldman Sachs, organizations that we work very closely with that are huge proponents of Harvard, many, many others. And just the science is quite compelling.
And who are in China? Who are the leaders? What's the profile of the individuals inside those organizations that are trying to lead the adoption of mindfulness?
It's sticky because it's an unknown territory for China. And the teaching of it is relatively, it's a secular teaching, but a lot of influencers that haven't come out, a lot of them are closet meditators. You see people like Ma Yuan or just other very, very successful business owners, entrepreneurs. I mean, if you think about it, what do you think the first, let's say Tencent, the CEO of Tencent, what do you think the first thing that person does the first 60 minutes of their day, right when they wake up? Do you think that they're checking email immediately when they wake up? Highly, highly unlikely. These top performers, these C-suites, they wake up, they're not reacting to all the stimulus of life. Waking up, they're getting out of their head into the body, exercising the body, and then looking into some sort of journaling, some sort of self-reflection, quieting the mind. And then from there is prioritizing the entire day. But the fact of the matter is success leaves clues. And if you have a solid morning routine and you know exactly what you have to do throughout the day and you calm yourself before you just start reacting to everything, highly likely to succeed throughout the day. They say, if you win the morning, you'll win the day. And it's just a matter of time for more of these CEOs to start being more vocal about it. Now that I'm thinking about it, also the CEO of Didi Dache is an avid practitioner of mindfulness as well. He's a client of ours and many, many others. It's just a matter of time for them to start vocalizing themselves. And you see trends. In the West, it's very, very popular. And over time, it'll start to become popular here too, because we have something in common. We're all humans. We all want to be happy. No one wants to suffer. And especially in a country that's predominantly atheist, I don't care who you are. You need some sort of grounding, some sort of philosophical operating system to work on. And this is a very good way to get started.
So Didi is obviously, it's largest private company in China right now. Yeah. And one of the fastest growing startups, going through lots of cycles, the acquisition of Uber, acquisition of lots of small competitors, getting now into a lot of new industries and also facing competition from other big giants. So you mentioned that CEO of the company is now a practitioner of mindfulness and also one of your clients. Are you also working with them in scaling down mindfulness to the whole organization?
So for our organization, potential project, what I have been told is that we're working on implementing mindfulness functions into the Didi Dache application, such as you get in to the car and there are just relaxation exercises embedded into the app. Might not be called mindfulness exercises, but various breathing exercises. And Chinese people are easily to adopt these things. And a perfect example is of Spring Airlines. For those who aren't familiar, it's somewhat of a budget airline. In the middle of a flight, or perhaps in the beginning of the flight, they lead you through various exercises of stretching yourself, taking some deep breaths. So it's quite similar to something like this. And they just want people to enjoy the user journey more. So we're currently working with them on implementing mindfulness apps onto it. Didi is such a huge company. There are so many people with it. The main thing, at least for us in the corporate mindfulness field, we're more concerned on teaching the leaders mindfulness and these qualities of selflessness, compassion, and mindfulness. And then their teams can take up these qualities. And then hopefully over time, you have a mindful organization, more mindful culture.
How does it work scaling down in an organization as big as this one? An organization that keeps growing really fast and keeps adding a lot of people. How does it work in terms of implementing a program with them? I mean, what are the main challenges that you have in terms of of getting even the leadership to buy into that.
Mm-hmm. Typically, we don't have any kind of direct marketing. We do a lot of social media marketing and content creation, and such as podcasts, just like this. And people become aware of mindfulness. And when they become aware of it, they have an inquiry. I wouldn't be surprised if other tech companies, after hearing this podcast, become aware of it, and then there's an inquiry. And there was an inquiry with them, then we bring in a pilot program. So this is, first we start with just an hour keynote. And on that hour keynote, we have a strong emphasis on attention training and higher results. And this notion of the paid reality, that is to say, pressure always on, information overload, and distractions everywhere, PAID. And then we set people up the long-term habit of mindfulness. And then we educate them on our programs, show them other people that we worked with. Then after they've bought into that, then we start an 8-week journey that has different modules, different mindfulness techniques, such as mental resilience training, dealing with change, genuine happiness training, these types of things. And it's mixed with work techniques and mental strategies. Some work techniques that are pretty important here in China is mindful messaging, such as dealing with WeChat, empathy training via WeChat, work-life balance, incredibly important for entrepreneurs, and also empathy training. So working with your communication skill, entering other people's minds, putting yourself in their shoes. So after we go through the 8-week program, then a lot of people have bought into this concept already. Throughout that, we start to train internal employees to become certified mindfulness trainers. And then they stick around. So for that case, say like McKinsey, we have a few internal mindfulness trainers that continually run these programs and then in time become a more mindful culture. At the end of the day, we're introducing this, testing it, seeing how they feel about it, bringing in the whole program, and then we're teaching them to be teachers. And that's how it scales to the whole organization.
I mean, when we were talking earlier about these 996, you were asking, do you have any data on how much output impact? I mean, how much extra value does it add to have these 996 working schedule? So do you have any data on what's the impact of mindfulness in your implementations here in China?
Off the top of my head, I can throw some numbers out, is that it's good to know 47% of the time, our minds are involuntarily wandering from what is now. Or for one, its intended target is. Okay, that's to say, you sit down in your computer in the beginning of the day, or you sit in your first meeting of the day, then all of a sudden, the mind starts wandering. And your attention tags on to something else. That's not the key multiplier effect or the main target of the day. And then you start to just spiral. I mean, how many people out there, when you sit down to start the day and you sit down on your computer, that one of the first things you do is check social media? Do you think this is effective? Of course not. It's putting yourself in a black hole of information overload. So there's that, the fact that half the time our minds are involuntarily wandering from what his intended target is. And the second piece of that I could share with you is that the average mind tends to wander every 8 seconds. So in other words, we could try it right now. Pick a thought, just one thought, and only think of that thought for 30 seconds, okay? Just 30 seconds. Choose anything. And I'll time you guys, okay? Think of one thing, 30 seconds, and see how successful you can keep your mind on that one thought. 3, 2, 1, go. One thought. Notice each moment the mind wanders. Almost there. And time. So just the listeners out there, when you just chose one thought, how many people actually succeeded to think of one thing? Most of them, after 8 seconds, the mind just went involuntarily. So this is very, very important to know, that the mind is consistently wandering And if you are able to fine-tune your focus to those critical tasks, those multiplier effects, pretty sure it's not necessary to be in the office for 10 hours. Work-life balance is so incredibly important. And getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep, I'm not talking about just sleep. I'm talking about deep rest. This has a direct correlation with your energy levels, which has a direct correlation with your performance on the next day. So if you're neglecting your sleep, you're neglecting your performance. You have to look like sleep as a training as well. This is incredibly important to have a very, very balanced life so you have a very effective mind.
Well, Brandon, thank you very much for sharing today. If anybody wants to learn more about Shanghai mindfulness, if they want to deploy mindfulness training in their organizations, how can they reach out to you?
Sure. They can reach out by going to shanghaimindfulness.com. If you're in China, you could just search on WeChat, Shanghai Mindfulness, no space. That would be our official WeChat account. And if you are a big company out there looking for a training, you can search me up personally, or you can look up potentialproject.com.cn.
Thank you very much, Brandon.
It's my pleasure. Take care.
Hey everyone, I just want to take a quick moment to thank our sponsor, China Accelerator. They are an accelerator based in Shanghai, bringing international ideas into China and Chinese ideas international. They're number one in what they do. They are a three-month program, and they help build your idea and make it amazingly successful. You can find out more at www.chinaaccelerator.com. People Squared is the original co-working space in China. It's your home for startups, no matter what you're working on. Small team or large, it has all the resources, the environment, the culture, everything that you need to take your idea and make it successful. Founded by Bob Zheng, an entrepreneur himself who really understands what startups need, it's a great place to bring your team and find success. You can find out more at people-squared.com.